This podcast contains adult themes and language. Listener discretion is advised. Here at the Lawless Files, we won't stop looking into the Michelle Lawless case until it is solved. We've got 5 years or more invested into that story. We care about getting justice for Michelle, justice for Josh, and we care about making sure the public knows why and how the case was so badly mishandled. So we will continue our work on that case. In fact, we're working on an episode right now that we'll be putting out in the next few weeks. When you work on something like the Lawless Files, it's inevitable that you will see or be made aware of other cases. People will reach out about old cases that have a lot of questions, and you see a lot of new cases where people are desperately seeking information, justice, or closure for someone who appears to be a victim of violence. These are cases that are often ignored by media outlets for one reason or another, whether that be a lack of resources or priorities that have shifted resources away from crime and toward other areas of news coverage. So we're going to get into some of these types of cases, some old ones that maybe people have forgotten about, and some new cases of crimes that have a sense of urgency where family members need answers immediately. We want to lend support to those folks if we can, knowing we are a very small outfit and cannot get to every story. Having said that, we want to be very upfront. We are going to give voice to some of these victim advocates, but these episodes will not truly be investigative like we've done with the Michelle Lawless case. In Michelle's case, there is and was a long, long history of documents in the public record because the case was considered closed from 1994 until Josh Keyser was exonerated in 2009. Once the case was closed, the records became open, so we had a lot of history to work with, plus we were able to cultivate sources both in law enforcement and beyond who would talk about the case. For cases that are ongoing and were never closed, there will be less on the public record. There will be less to review and examine for inconsistent statements, for example. And generally, law enforcement agencies do not discuss ongoing cases with the media. But here's the cool thing about what's happened. Through our coverage of Michelle's case, we've built up a sizable and loyal following. And the idea is that, what if the attention of Michelle's case could actually help others seeking justice or answers? That sounds like a winner to me. So let's see if we can bring attention to some of these other cases that matter with people who obviously already care about justice. So here we go with our first Lawless Files spinoff. We're putting our attention on the disappearance of Jesse Wilfong. We're going to publish an interview here with Jesse's mother, Kathy. It's only about 15 minutes long or so, and the idea is to raise the awareness of Jesse's case. We are giving Kathy a platform to talk about her daughter and some of the details leading up to her daughter's disappearance. No one on this planet is more concerned about this case than Kathy. This case involves two different police jurisdictions, and Kathy has done some of her own investigation. So we're going to let her tell us about what she knows, but it's important that everyone understands that we have not been able to independently verify or confirm what Kathy says in this interview. We do find her credible and believe everything she says is truthful to her knowledge. With that said, we're proud to bring you this information from Kathy Wilfong, and we hope her information and this podcast will help lead to more information about Jesse's whereabouts. If you have any information about Jesse's disappearance, please contact the Cape Girardeau County Sheriff's Department at 573-243-3551. But like I said, we're being transparent here that we are at the very beginning of this case and don't have all the background and years of investigation like we had in Michelle's case. But we believe, just as we do with Michelle, that Jesse Wilfong matters. She is 21 years old, and she hasn't been heard from since May 19, 2022.
I think I'm grasping, and I just want to look at her home. I'm afraid something's happened to her, and I just want her to go back.
Hi there, can you hear me?
I can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for joining me here today on the Zoom. I know it's not the best of circumstances, but I appreciate you coming on here.
Thank you.
Could you start here by just telling us who you are and how you're related to Jesse?
I'm Kathy Wilfong, and I'm Jesse Wilfong's mom.
Okay. All right. So first off, can you tell us just a little bit about Jesse, kind of when she was last seen, maybe give a physical description of her so people can be kind of on the lookout?
She was last seen on May 19th. She is about 5'9 and 150 to 60 pounds. Brown hair, but it's highlighted, probably wearing shorts and a t-shirt, maybe some slides. And the last time I saw her, I saw her on the 19th and the evening, so I'm not, I was wearing on the 19th. But she was seen last at her uncle's in Millersville on the 19th, and that was on a neighbor's camera coming in trailer. On the 19th, before she went to her uncle's, she was in Fredericktown, Missouri.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about how old is Jesse? You know, was she working? What was her life kind of like before her disappearance?
Jesse is now 21. She was 20 at the time of disappearance. She was on drugs. I know she's been on meth. We live in St. Louis. She would come to our house, stay for a few days, and she supposedly living with us. And then she would take off in the middle of the night with we don't know who, and just was always in Fredericktown. Anytime she needed a ride home at Fredericktown. I think I picked her up in Ironton once, but she was always down there.
Okay. So you all live in St. Louis. Is that what I heard?
We do. We live in South County. She had no car, no job. She lost her job, lost her car, and just was back and forth.
Okay. So on the day of her disappearance, you know that she was in Fredericktown before she went to her uncle's house. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what she was doing in Fredericktown?
I talked to Jerry Miller, and he said that her and her friend, Emily Brooks, came through his window, and they seemed really nervous, and he didn't know what went on, but his girlfriend was there. She kicked him out, and then she was picked up by her uncle.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you that question again because there's a little bit of a lag in the technology, and you're kind of cutting out there. So could you tell us then what she was doing in Fredericktown?
In Fredericktown, she went to Jerry Miller's house and knocked on the door. They didn't answer, so she went through his window with her friend Emily Brooks, and he said they seemed nervous. His girlfriend got mad and kicked him out. And then they said she was picked up by her uncle.
Okay. So who's Jerry Miller?
He is a person from Fredericktown she was with. I don't know what she went there for. And I don't really know why.
Okay. So she went to Fredericktown to this Jerry Miller's house, and she crawled in through a window or something and got something, was kicked out, and then she was picked up by her uncle. Is that your brother or?
My husband's brother.
Your husband's brother?
My husband's brother, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Sorry, you're just, the sound quality isn't the greatest.
Okay.
Okay, so then she goes to Millersville, where your husband's brother lives. What happens there?
There, we were unaware that he was back on meth. So from what we've heard, her and her uncle, I believe, were doing drugs. And the uncle's girlfriend was there. She left with her uncle a few times during the night. I don't know where they were going, but the neighbor's camera picked him up. And then the police say she was never seen leaving the trailer. So that's kind of, they're looking into that and looking into some Fredericktown leads.
Well, that's got to be really, a really, really difficult situation for you to be dealing with, not knowing where she's at, not knowing what happened to her, and then last seen at your, I guess, your brother-in-law's house. How are you coping with all of that?
Not very well. It's just, I think I'm grasping, and I just want her home. I'm afraid something's happened to her, and I want her back.
You said she'd been using again. I think in a past correspondence that you and I had, you know, she had at different times or even recently tried to get clean. Is this kind of been an ongoing struggle for her?
It has. We found out about it in September. I believe she's been doing this for about a year, and she told us when we saw her last that she was off drugs, but I've heard otherwise, and she's addicted. I've offered it, you know, through rehab. She said she doesn't have a problem and doesn't want to quit.
So tell me a little bit about, I know one of your fears is that, you know, there have been some other scenarios in the Fredericktown area. Do you have any direct knowledge that these, you know, that some of the same people involved with some of these other cases may be involved with this one?
Possibly. I've heard a lot of talk about this drug house on 00 in Marquand, or I don't know if it's Marquand or Fredericktown, but a lot of the kids that I've read articles on ended up at that house and then ended up either dead or disappeared. I know Jesse's been to that house before, but I interviewed the people that lived there and they said they haven't seen her in about a month. And I believe that they went in the house and she wasn't there.
So did you say that you talked to those people?
We tried to talk to them, but no one was home. The police had already been there and actually arrested them for some things. So the police said Jesse was not at that place.
So, tell me a little bit about how the investigation is going. You just said there that you've been trying to kind of look into where she might be. Obviously, the police are involved. When did the police get involved with searching for her? And what all jurisdictions are helping you at this point?
We had to file in with the Cape County Sheriff's Department because the last known place she was seen was Millersville, and they've been involved probably Thursday. I think I filed it like a week after she'd been missing. The Sheriff's Department had been involved. They've been contacting Madison County Sheriff's Office and the police to see if they can question people for them, and I feel like they're doing everything they can. But they said they're just not there yet.
So you're living up in St. Louis. Do you have family in the Millersville area, or are you connected at all to Cape Girardeau County?
Just me and my mom lived there first, got married in Millersville, and mom and dad live in the park, and now his brother and girlfriend live there.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, at least you have some connections there. How about the Fredericktown area? Do you have any connections there at all, or?
Not a lot. We moved to Marquand and have a few connections there, but Fredericktown, a lot of people have connected us on Facebook or Messenger and just given us some tips to follow up on. So, you know, we'll actually go and talk to some people and Mark, we talked to people in Marquand and not really getting anywhere either.
How often are you in communication with law enforcement? So you're having to work with two jurisdictions here, which I'm sure is, you know, difficult. How often are you in contact with investigators?
They want us to send anything we get, even if it sounds crazy. So I send them a text and email throughout the week of any tips, and then they'll give me at least one call a week with updates.
Okay. Well, that's good, I guess. Is that from each jurisdiction, or is one?
No, just Cape County is the only one we ever talked to.
Okay. What's your best theory at this point? Any ideas what might've happened?
I honestly thought that maybe she left her uncle's, went back to Fredericktown, but then I spoke to a sheriff's or one of the detectives, and he said that she was not seen on the camera leaving her uncle's. Since then, we found out her uncle was back on meth, and I'm worried that he did say that they got in a fight and he thought she was a narc, but it wasn't physical. But I'm just really worried that something happened. He's not answering questions to.
Okay. Has his property been searched or anything, or?
They've interviewed him. I don't think they've searched his trailer. They've searched the woods behind the trailer park and didn't find anything, but they've questioned him and her a few times.
Okay. Could you give me his name?
His name is Lawrence, last name Shanda, S-C-H-A-N-D-A.
Okay.
And I hate to say it, I mean, he's a nice guy when he's not on drugs, and I really care for him, but people have told me when he's on meth, he's just...
Yeah, that's got to be so difficult position to be in there. I mean, obviously we're hoping that Jesse's found and, you know, maybe just run off somewhere or something like that.
Yeah.
But I guess if anybody out there knows anything, they should contact the Cape County Sheriff's Department. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Can they reach out to you as well, or should they find you on Facebook, or?
Can contact me on Facebook or, you know, however. I'll listen to anything they got to say.
Okay. Kathy, is there anything else that the public needs to know about your daughter?
She's, other than being on drugs, she's a friendly, sweet girl. I don't think she's of any danger to anyone, but she just always kept in touch with us. This isn't her. Her phone died the night she disappeared, the 19th. She charged it up or been on her Snapchat or anything like that. And that's just really unusual for her.
Where was her phone last tracked? Do you have that information?
It was last in Fredericktown at about 7:37 that May 19th.
Okay.
Then nothing after.
Was it recovered, or is it still gone?
The phone is not, it's disappeared off.
Okay. Well, Kathy, thank you so much for talking to me here. We'll get this episode out real soon so people can find out about it and hopefully come forward with information if it's out there. We appreciate you so much and wish you guys the best of luck.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. We feel for Kathy Wilfong. I did that interview with her on Zoom, and the anguish on her face was apparent even through the computer screen. She's living out a nightmare. I can't imagine not knowing what's happened to your daughter. No matter the age or circumstances, no one deserves to go through what Kathy Wilfong is going through. So we're pleading to anyone out there with information on Jesse's whereabouts, please contact the Sheriff's Department. Again, that number is 573-243-3551. You can also drop us a tip at www.thelawlessfiles.com. Let's get Jesse's parents some answers. If you want to see a photo of Jesse, please check out our Lawless Files Facebook page and our discussion group. We mentioned that Fredericktown is on our radar. Jesse didn't live in Fredericktown. She wasn't even last seen in Fredericktown. But she spent time there, perhaps involved in drug activity. She definitely had some sort of strange interaction there, climbing into a window at a house. Fredericktown is a town of 4,000 people. It's in Madison County, which is two counties west of Cape Girardeau County, connected by Highway 72 that runs through Bollinger County. My parents used to live in Fredericktown, so I've been to Fredericktown many, many times. It seems like a town that's too small to be having all of this drama. It's too much drama. Stories have come to our attention from that area. We're looking at the disappearance of Timmy Dees, who hasn't been seen since February 27th. We're aware of the Durante Martin case from 2021. Durante was shot in the head in the attic of James Wade's house where a party was going on. That case drew some brief national attention, primarily for its racial undertones. Originally ruled a suicide, an independent former pathologist looked at the case and ruled it couldn't have been. Then there's the Nick Lowery case and Michaela Jones. Michaela's body was found in Washington County in May of 2021. She was high school classmates with Durante Martin in Park Hills, not far from Fredericktown. I haven't dug deep into these cases to make any of my own determinations, but people who care about these victims have, and they insist that something is off. We're not making any promises, but we do want to raise the profile for those who are desperately seeking answers and justice. That's what the Lawless Files is all about. This Lawless Files spinoff is a production of Leadhound Publishing, LLC. It is written, hosted, edited, and produced by yours truly, Bob Miller. Please consider supporting our efforts by subscribing at www.thelawlessfiles.com or leave a rating and review on Spotify. If you're just becoming aware of The Lawless Files because of Jesse's case, please consider listening to all of our other episodes about Michelle Lawless's case as well. We think you'll find the story is not just compelling, but also important. Michelle and Josh both deserve justice. We hope it comes soon. Thank you for listening to The Lawless Files.